Welcome back to Community Connections. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Amy. Now, Amy is with the 1812 Theatre Group down there in Upper Ferntree Gully. She's directed a show that's on at the moment, which we're going to talk about. And I must declare, I went and saw it last Saturday night, but I paid for my ticket. And it's very important that you know that I don't do promotions just in the hope of getting a free ticket. I paid for the ticket, having got that out of the way. How are you, Amy?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Not a problem. Now, I saw the show. I think it's a terrific show. But first of all, why did you pick this show that you wanted to direct? And secondly, tell us a bit about it, please.
Certainly. I chose this show because I think it's a very timely piece, especially after the last couple of years that we've had and people are really looking for a slightly simpler life. Yep. And a way to try to rebalance their lives. But it's very interesting in terms of thinking about the reality of that versus the idealism of it.
It does, doesn't it?
Indeed. And so Home I'm Darling is based on the premise that every marriage needs a little fantasy to keep it sparkling. But behind the gingham curtains, being a domestic goddess isn't as easy as it seems. So we meet our couple, the Martins, and on the curtain rise, we believe that we're in the 1950s. The house is decorated as such. The costumes fit that appropriately. However, very quickly we find out that actually we're in the present day, but this particular couple have decided to live as if they were in the 1950s. And I think some part of the reason for that is that they were looking for that simplicity. They loved the lifestyle. They loved the idea of it, the fashion and the accessories that go with it. But maybe the reality of doing that in the present day and with the challenges of technology especially, kind of grate on each other a little bit. So looking at the reality versus the idealism of how you actually make that work.
And not everybody is all, like, people can start off, and I don't want to give the plot away, but people can start off really loving it and then one continues to love it and the other one starts to think this is not right, can't they?
Absolutely, and I think that's part of life. As humans, we do grow and change. Yep. And sometimes you start off on a path and you think it's what you're after, but once you recognise the realities of that, sometimes that does change your direction a little bit.
Yep. Amy, I want to talk a bit more about the show in a minute, but first of all, just tell the audience a little bit about yourself. When you what got you involved with community theatre?
Certainly. I have loved theatre and being creative as long as I can remember. I was very lucky that my family was very interested in theatre and music theatre. Yep. And so I was very young when I started being taken to shows and started to understand the storytelling element of it, but also that you can walk away thinking about ideas that have been presented within that show or within that experience. And so when I was given the opportunity halfway through high school to explore theatre a bit more specifically, I took that opportunity and just kept developing and growing. And I guess I did study at university and I continued with theatre and drama and English. But talking about the reality piece, you know, it is quite a interesting industry to try to make your living in.
Oh,
and I realised that... Yeah, and I realised that quite early I didn't want the pressure of that, but I did want to still really be involved in the creative scene. So I sought out some different opportunities through independent companies and community theatre companies, which is wonderful because you get the opportunity to be creative and really give back to the community in that way, but you also are creating and reinvigorating your own community in the different productions that you do as you go on.
I actually knew Terry Norris, who was an actor a long while ago, and he even told me, like, he got knocked back on parts, and he said, you've got to be able to withstand that, and it's a very hard thing if that's your living, and that was his living, and he said at times it's heartbreaking.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, even in the community scene, if it's something that you are really passionate about and you've really put your all into it, it can be quite upsetting if you don't get that particular role or you don't get selected to be part of that production team. But I think it is, as you say, just part of what you're putting yourself forward for when you put yourself into it. So I think you go in with your put your best foot forward and see what happens in a lot of ways. But I knew that I didn't want to put myself in there as the way to be able to pay my bills, because I just know who I am, I guess. And the reality of that was a little daunting, but being able to really be involved and meet such amazing people through community theatre is just a blessing.
And I'm amazed the level of talent that is in it. It's not an amateurish, any of these shows, they're not amateurish. And some of these people, they deserve to be able to make their income out of the theatre, but unfortunately that's not the reality, is it?
It's not the reality, and I think everybody does give everything that they've got to every production that they're involved in.
Yep.
But ultimately I think it's great that we've been able to find a way in which that we can really experience that joy and really come together and create something that we are truly proud of to be able to put on the stage. Yep. And use our own creative talents to be able to really enjoy what we're doing and provide entertainment to different audiences as well.
Now, I've got to ask you the hard question. What would you prefer to do, direct or act?
I have to say it's not a clear-cut decision for
Isn't
me
it?
Personally. For me personally, it depends on the project itself. I think I am very attracted to having a bit of a challenge in what I'm doing next.
Yep.
And quite often it is dependent on what am I more passionate about. Is it something for directing? Usually I get some kind of image or inspiration that I can see the big picture. And that kind of guides me towards directing a particular piece. In other respects, I will read a role or I'll read a script and discover certain things within a particular character that I think are really interesting and the interplay between characters. And so I'm more interested in then auditioning for that piece.
Amy, when you're producing or directing a play like that, how much of it can the director sort of put into it? And that's probably not a good way to explain it, but when you get a script, does it tell you exactly how the person should act and their facial expressions, or is it up to the director then to interpret that and say to the actors, this is what I want?
Most of the scripts that I have come across, and particularly the ones that are really strong, the writing itself is actually so strong that it lends itself to the director's interpretation. Right. So whilst you will have stage directions, they are generally recorded for the first production of that particular play. So whilst they are there, they can be used as guideposts, they're not necessarily a required piece. Sometimes with the rights, they are a bit more specific. In particular with musicals, there are certain things you have to reproduce the same way that they were initially done.
Yep.
But we are very lucky with plays that a lot of it is left open to the interpretation of the creatives that are working on a particular production.
And in that, is that the same with the set? I mean, does the director have a big input into the set, or is a lot of the set really been spread out, I suppose, during the script?
Sure, it does depend. A lot of scripts will have either a diagram or a description of what the set was originally when it was done, but it's not something that you specifically have to stick to. So in some instances, you may have a script that does have all of that information in, but you are going for a different interpretation and maybe a different stylistic choice about how you're presenting that script. So you do have quite a lot of artistic freedom, along with obviously your set designer and the set build team.
Yep.
In terms of the practicality of things as well, as to how you develop them and create what the stage is actually going to look like for your production.
All right, so we're actually here to promote the show that's going on at the moment, 1812, Home I'm Darling, you said. It's obviously on at the moment because I saw it on Saturday night. How much longer has it got to go, and how do people get tickets?
Wonderful. Well, we have another 2 weeks, so we reopen again tonight, so Wednesday to Sundays until the 30th of August.
And the Sundays are afternoon, aren't they?
That's correct. The Sunday is a matinee at 2 p.m. and all the other nights are evening performances with the curtain up at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. and you don't want to miss out. And you can have a great experience because you can buy a little bit of alcohol and have that at half time, at interval. I can't say half time, it sounds like the football. At interval or whatever it may be. For Amy's position, what's her next project?
My next project, I'll actually be on stage for the 1812 in the next season, which is in the bakery, doing a production called Speaking in Tongues.
Now, you should explain to the people what the difference is between the two theatres.
Certainly. We're very lucky at the 1812 Theatre. We do have two different theatre spaces. So we have a proscenium arch space, which is the low theatre, which is our bigger theatre. And then we also have what we call a black box space, which is a smaller theatre, which is called the bakery at 1812.
Yep. So that show you're in, just give us a quick rundown on what that is, please, Amy.
Sure. So Speaking in Tongues is about some contemporary couples who have different connections but are all struggling in some way at some point with their identity and how they can change that and how they work as part of a couple and whether that is something that they want to continue doing or whether it's a choice point for them to take a different turn.
Let me just ask you, you've been involved in a number of productions and you've also directed a number. What's a favourite one that stands out? And you're probably going to say the one that's on now, but no, in all honesty, what's the best show that you really enjoyed?
I have been very lucky with this production, but I think I also have a very fond love in my heart for a production called Love, Loss and What I Wore that I was in at Encore about 11 years ago. And it was a very unique production in that we had 13 women from different times in their lives who all came together to create a beautiful piece of theatre, and we're all very close friends now as well. And so that holds a very, very soft spot in my heart as well.
You've just put the next question in my mouth because we need to get back to the 1812 again. But when you've finished these shows, and then obviously I've been there on the last night some nights, and you see actors in tears because they're not sure they're ever going to see each other again because they all go off into other projects. Do you find that with many of the shows that you've done, you've just spoken about that one where you've stayed lifelong friends almost, does that happen or do you mainly life gets in the way and they do another show and you do another show and that's about it?
Sometimes things can get in the way, but I think I've been very fortunate in a number of the productions that I've been involved in that a lot of us are really keen to stay in touch with each other. And that may be that we continue to see each other in foyers because we go and visit each other when we're doing productions. So I've been very lucky that a number of the people that I worked with last year for this season at the 1812 Theatre have come to see this production as well. So we've been keeping in touch as well. And it's a really lovely way to connect with that community on a more long-term basis.
Now, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. You might not have it in front of you. Do you have the contact details where to get tickets, please?
The best place to get tickets is probably 1812theatre.com.au because that means that you can go in, have a look at where the seating is still available and choose where you would be most comfortable within that space.
So let's get this right, though. The 1812 is 1812. It's not spelled out, is it?
That's correct. 1812theatre.com.au.
Yep, and you can pick your own seats and have a ball. And you've got all this week and up till next Saturday week, I believe.
That's correct, yes.
So that's terrific. The show is Home, I'm Darling. It's got some very funny parts in it. It's got some parts that really make you think a bit about it, as Amy said. But look, it's well worth going to see. And also it's well worth looking at the 1812 Theatre, putting them down, liking them on Facebook and following them because they have some great shows. They do about six or seven a year. Great sets. Great. I had to get that in. Great show. So, Amy, look, I wish you well for it. I hope it's going really well. And, I'll be working down there tomorrow night front of house. So I hope people will come along and see it. Amy, anything else you want to say before you go? I know you've got to get away.
Thank you very much for inviting me on your show. It's been lovely to speak with you and hopefully we'll get to see a number of new audience members at the 1812 soon.
Absolutely. You don't have to thank me. I didn't throw it to you for that to get a thank you. I just wanted to to make sure we covered everything. So it's 1812 1812theatre.com.au. Have a look up. You can buy the tickets online. If not, if you're having trouble on that, there will be a phone number, which I don't have with me, that you could ring. And there is somebody in the office between certain hours. But 1812theatre.com.au. Home, I'm Darling's the name of the show. I hope it goes really well for you, Amy, and we look forward to talking to you when you're doing another show.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
No worries, Amy. Thanks very much.